Go ahead and turn to the book of Jude this morning. I'm going to continue on through a couple of new verses here. And just a brief note, the Ministry Impact class will meet this afternoon. Those of you who are planning on attending can just congregate inside the foyer of the church, and we will load up once we're all ready after the morning service. All right, looking at Jude this morning, we're going to look at a total of three verses. And we kind of look at a different section here. We've managed to make our way all the way down through verse number 1, all the way through verse 13. Although it's taken us a little while to get here, hopefully we're learning much and it's been a benefit. All right, you've had time to find it. Hopefully you have. Jude, look at verse 14. We're going to read three verses here. Look at what it says. It says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Notice verse 16. "These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." We're going to look at this morning three reasons to choose truth. Three reasons to choose truth. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would enlighten us this morning. Lord, help us to see your word for what it is. Pray, God, you'd give us understanding. Lord, I pray that we would be focused. Lord, we would not allow our minds to wander or, Lord, be distracted. But, Lord, understand that the things that we'll look at this morning, Lord, are essential for our walk with you. I pray, God, that we would be more convinced than we ever have, Lord, to walk in truth and to love truth. And I pray, Lord, that we would take your word for what it says this morning. We ask these things in your name we pray. Amen. You know, life is all about choices, isn't it? I think about the choices that we have in America. You know, when you think about, hey, I'm hungry, let's go out to eat. You know, well, yeah, how many of you have ever heard your parents having a conversation on trying to figure out where exactly you would go to eat? Anybody ever have or heard that conversation before? And it's difficult. Why? Because there's so many choices. Sometimes choices can overcome us, in a sense. I mean, you know, maybe you're like me and you walk into an ice cream shop and you begin looking at all the flavors they have. You know, there was this place just down the road from where we went to college, and it was called Cookout. Anybody ever been to a Cookout before? Burgers, fries, shakes. Great place, but tons of choices as far as shake flavors go. And you can do all kinds of combinations and everything, and you look on down, and after reading all 50 or 60 flavors, you settle with what? Vanilla. You know, okay, that's me. Hey, I'm overwhelmed at the choices that I have in front of me. Just yesterday, we painted our basement. All right, ministry class, you'll get to see it a little bit today. Hopefully the paint fumes have lifted, but if not, then we'll just have a happier class than we typically. No, I'm just kidding. But choices, when it comes to, guys, let me just tell you, all right, listen, when you sit down with your wife to figure out the color paint, all right, that you're going to use on the walls, okay? Understand that this is going to matter much more to her than it does you, okay? We were setting up for the project and wanted to get it done in both Friday evening and Saturday. And so on Thursday night, I sent Christina to the store and I said, all right, I want you to go. And I want you to come up with some options that you want for the color of the basement. And of course, it was gray, but there's 50
gazillion different grays when it comes to paint. And so she goes and she gets these, you know, these color cards, you know, that they have, you know, Sherwin-Williams. And she goes and she brings them home. We take a look at them. And she actually got samples as well of those grays. And so anyway, she applied them to the wall. And then Friday, after I got done here, I went to Lowe's. And I said, all right, now just tell me what you've decided on. So she had taken, she narrowed it down to three. And she had put them on the wall, okay, in just a couple of, you know, boom, boom, boom. And she were FaceTiming, and she puts it up there, and she says, well, I'm not quite sure. What do you think? And so I'm looking, I'm trying, this is all the same color, isn't it, dear? No, there, don't you see? Is it, here's the darker one and the lighter one. And hold it a little closer. That's all the same. How can you tell the difference? Oh, there's the difference, okay? Hey, choices can sometimes be overwhelming at times. We have tons of choices when it comes to a lot of different things. But, you know, when I look at these three verses that we're noticing this morning, I see three choices or three reasons to choose truth that Jude is giving us here. Notice the first one here. He mentions in verse 14, he mentions Enoch, the one who walked in truth. Enoch, the one who walked in truth. I want you to turn with me this morning. Go to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. I want us to see a couple of verses. You know, we don't have a lot mentioned in the Bible about Enoch, but what we do have was pretty impressive. Enoch, the one who walks in truth here. I want you to see this. Enoch here, the just the few things that we have mentioned about him, he represents the chance we have for sweet fellowship in that of walking with truth. But notice verse 22 of Genesis chapter 5. See what it says here. And Enoch walked with God. Notice, drop on down here to verse 24, and Enoch, again, walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, we really don't have much on the life of Enoch, but what we do have, it's pretty impressive. Well, we know he had two things that he was known for here, and one of them being the fact that he walked with God. You know, I believe Enoch had eyes to see the future, and that's what Jude is talking about here. It says that, you know, we kind of get a little bit more knowledge of the person that Enoch was. And it says in verse 14, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. We understand that Enoch had eyes to see the future. Now, this was something that the Lord had blessed him with. This was a vision of things that were to come that God was giving and blessing him with, okay? That does not happen today in that way, okay? You don't all of a sudden awake from your sleep and say, whoa, I know what's going to happen to me in 3 years, and it's not pretty. You know, that does not happen to us today, and I'm glad in many instances that it doesn't. But he was able to see something that was far from him that was going to take place. And, you know, on a practical note, you and I, we need to have eyes that see the future, see what's out in front of us. You know, there are some people that are professional wingers. All right, you ever heard the phrase, wing it? You know, I'm going to wing it. All right, sometimes, what does that mean? Somebody tell me, I'm going to wing it. What does that mean? Ethan, you always answer, buddy. And I love it, I do. But let's see if some of these other guys are awake this morning. Justin. Do something without preparing for it. Yeah, does anybody know where that phrase came from? Anybody? I looked it up. It's pretty interesting. You think you know? Avery, you kind of, maybe. You know, it actually came from the 1800s, and it came from the theatrical stage. In fact, there were certain situations where people would be waiting in the wings, and they would have a situation in which they were forced to go on in the place of somebody who's come up ill, a situation that they weren't prepared for, but would be thrown into character, not knowing the lines, and just strictly going out there and trying to make the best of a tough situation. That's what wing it came from. But, you know, there's some people that live their lives as professional wingers. Okay, they don't take too much thought for the future. It's just kind of the here and now, and a lot of times these people aren't prepared. And you know, all of us can fall prey to that for sure. But you know, there is an element in which all of us need to pick up our head and look out in front of us. Okay, well, let me show you a verse here. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. I like how Solomon puts it. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 26. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. Look at what it says. It says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." You know, if your ways, my ways, are going to be firm, they're going to be established, something that lasts, we have to ponder the path of our feet. What does that mean? Sometimes we have to look out in front of us to be prepared for things that are coming down the pike, to pick up our head and see challenges that may be presented down the road, to have eyes to see out in front of us like Enoch did. So if you're going to do that, you might ask questions in relation to truth. Hey, am I walking in truth today? Pondering the path of your feet. Am I walking in the truth of God? Is there any area of my life that I am not? You might ask, will the path that I'm on right now result in me walking in truth in 10 years from now? That's a legitimate question. You know, if Proverbs says, hey, if my position is going to be established and planted far on down the pike, am I positioning myself right now for that? You know, we could go into more application of that, but we don't have time this morning. Another question to ask, you're in Proverbs, turn to chapter 19. Having eyes to see that which is in front of you. Proverbs 19, look at verse 27 here. Proverbs 19, verse 27 says, "The cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth thee to err from the words of knowledge." Read it one more time. "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth thee to err from the words of knowledge." What is Solomon saying there? He's saying, hey, look to your path. All right? Find out why you aren't walking in truth right now. Find out why it is that you err from the path. And that's a good question. What is it that causes us to lose our path if we're not walking in truth this morning? Hey, Enoch had eyes to see the future. He also had ears to hear the Lord. If we go back to Genesis, you don't have to this morning, but it says that he walked with God. This has the idea of fellowship, conversation, communication that was taking place. Have you ever had anybody tell you before that you had selective hearing? How many of you have ever heard that before? Okay. Wow, lots of hands. I thought I was the only one. Okay. I grew up hearing that phrase time and time again. Somebody tell me, what does it mean? Selective hearing. You have selective hearing. Mimi, what's it say? What's it mean? You hear what you want to hear. And that is so true. I mean, that, I hate to admit it, but that is very true. I can't tell you the amount of times that I have been just zoned in on things. And somebody asked me a question, whoop, didn't even hear it. Why? That my focus. How many of you have ever carried on a conversation, okay, and you're not even sure what you said because you were focusing on something else? Anybody ever done that? This happened to me the other day. Okay, guys, don't do this to your wife, but I did. All right? Just the other day, I'm locked in, you know, I'm doing something, and you know, she was asking me, all right, what do you want me to do next? You know, and I'm like, you know, and then I came to her, I said, you know, hey, you ready? And I asked you, you know, you said you wouldn't answer me. Oh man, that's terrible. Okay, don't do that to your wife. But hey, what was going on there? I was so focused. It was hearing that really wasn't hearing. He had eyes to hear the Lord, though. He's got communication going back and forth here. You know, I imagine that when Enoch walked with God, He probably didn't control the conversation. He probably listened, and he benefited greatly from it. Enoch had eyes to see the future. He had ears to hear the Lord, listening to that which is true. And then, thirdly, he had feet to walk with him. The Bible says that he walked with God. That means to follow after him. You know, I see a couple of things in the fact that Enoch had the same opportunity that everybody else did in his day and age. But Enoch is the only one that it's written that he walked with God, and God took him. He had the same opportunity. In fact, think about the lifespan of Enoch compared to you and I. You know, we look at somebody who's been faithful to the Lord for, what, 50, 60, 70 years of ministry. We say, whoa, that is amazing. But think about the day that he lived in, okay? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years have gone by, and we're looking at Enoch, and what do we know about Enoch? Well, he just walks with God. You know, everybody had the same opportunity that Enoch had. And yet, Enoch was the only one that it was said of him that he walked with God. Enoch is a great representation of the chance that each of us have to walk in truth with sweet fellowship with God. We don't have time to talk about Enoch much more. Notice the second thing quickly, and I'm going to have to give you these in like 30 seconds each. Look at the verse 14, the latter end here. There's some prophecy going on. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly. Enoch represents a chance for sweet fellowship. We notice Christ here is being referred to in prophecy, of course, in his triumphant return. And we see that he is the one who is truth. Enoch is the one who walked in truth. Christ is the one who is truth. We could look to John 1 and verse 1 and notice that in the beginning was the Word, referring to Jesus Christ. And we see in Revelation, turn there. I want to show you just a couple of verses. Revelation chapter 19, notice with me verse 11. I'll give you just a second to turn there. Revelation 19, look at verse 11 here. It's describing the scene as the Lord Jesus comes back, riding a white horse. Notice Revelation 19 and verse 11, it says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." This is Jesus Christ. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, white and clean." And he goes on to describe, verse 16 is one of my favorites, "And he hath his vesture of his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." This is Christ. He's coming back to judge those who have ultimately rejected him. There's certain phrases in Jude that are worth mentioning. He says here, as he goes on to describe this judgment that takes place for those who have rejected the truth, the Bible says that he's come to execute judgment upon all. Why is he doing this? Because they have rejected the truth. When we reject truth in our lives, we are more like people who have not accepted Christ than we are Christians. He mentions here as well, to convince all that are ungodly. You know, I read this, that word convince has the idea to convict or to convince. Why is it that when he comes back, there's a convincing that has to take place? Because the wickedness of man's heart. They're rising up nation among nation, and they're standing up in their own humanity against God and all of His power. And how is it that seeing all of this take place before their eyes, they're still bowing their backs and shaking their fists at Him? Why is that? Well, because, as we talked about before, darkness blinds man's eye. These people are walking not in truth, in light, but they're walking in darkness, and they've become blind to their own wickedness. And so, therefore, there's some convincing that has to be taking place here about their ungodly deeds, the Bible says. They're unwilling to acknowledge the wrong that they've done. Their ungodly speeches, the Bible says. They're unwilling to acknowledge the words that they've used. And they're even going as so far as to speak out against Him. And these things were spoken against the Lord. Notice the third category, and we're done this morning. Three reasons to choose truth. Number one, because of Enoch and the fellowship that we can have with the Lord when we walk in truth. Number two, because of Christ and the impending judgment to come. And number three, we see the apostates, okay, in their description, verse 16. Back in Jude, it says, these were murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admonition because of advantage. Now, these were people who had ultimately rejected truth, or who had once held the truth and turned from it, were not anymore honoring the complete Word of God. It talks about their attitudes being murmurers, complainers. It talks about their following after their own lusts, using great swelling words. You know, this is a description of a lot of the religious, I don't want to say religious leaders, but I do want to say people who have maybe acknowledged a certain part of the truth and refused other parts, and so it's led them in a wrong direction. A lot of cults came about this way. You know, why is it that the Catholic Church instituted indulgences in the first place? Was that biblical? No, it wasn't, but it was something to line their own pockets and pay for things that they wanted to do. The Bible talks about how these who have rejected truth are people that have done so for their own advantage, because of their own advantage. And so, because of that, we have all different types of factions of religions today. We have all different types of cults out there today. And it's because people follow after this and stand up, use great swelling words, get other people to follow after them, because there's some type of advantage that comes to them. Today we see three examples, or three reasons that we should choose truth. And, of course, the first one is the most powerful when we consider the fact that we can have such great fellowship. I encourage you today, let's walk with God in truth. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the things that you're teaching us in the book of Jude, things that we look at. We're excited about the opportunity we have in this next service, Lord, to hear your word yet again. I pray that, Lord, you would speak to us there. And Lord, more importantly, Father, as we look at a fresh new week, Lord, I pray, God, that we would look hard to the path, Lord, that we're walking. That we would, Father, examine it. Lord, see if there would be any, Lord, part where in which we're not honoring your word, an area of our lives. And Lord, if there be a place, Lord, a place that we're not doing so, I pray that we would take the next step, Lord, which would be to root that out of our lives so that, Father, we can have long-term faithfulness, Lord, like Enoch. We love you, and we just ask your blessings on the next hour. In your name we pray. Amen.